A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the America's Cup with Mick Miller, who is a performance coach expert. And look, much as a lot of water has gone under the bridge, so to speak, with the America's Cup since we last spoke. And Mick joins us again. How are you doing, Mick?
Oh, good day. How are you?
Very, very well, thanks. Well, mate, it was a 2 or 3 weeks of huge racing in Bermuda, and for some reason we just don't hear anything about the America's Cup in this country. I watch the news, the 6 o'clock news, I watch the 7 o'clock news, I watch SBS, and it seems there's no interest in the America's Cup here, but as we all know, it's a huge event, and New Zealand and America are the two who have come out on tops again.
Look, and as you mentioned earlier, just a second ago, there's been a lot of water under the foil, as you could
yes.
say, with these two boats.
Sure.
And look, I think maybe over the next week or so, there might be a little bit more interest generated with what's going over there in Bermuda.
And I recall when we spoke last time, Mick, it was quite incredible how many Australians are involved in this America's Cup Challenge.
Absolutely amazing, from race directors to crew managers to skippers to helmsmen. It's there's a lot of Australians, from yacht designers, foil designers. There's a lot of Australians that have been involved in this cup with a number of syndicates. But as you said, you know, it's down there to Emirates Team New Zealand that are going to challenge Oracle Team USA, and there's no love lost between these two teams, none whatsoever.
And Mick, would I be correct in saying that the skippers of both of these teams are Australians?
Yeah, look, the helmsman for Team New Zealand is a young fella by the name of Peter Burling, nicknamed the Iceman. Very, 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 very cool and calm and collective. Doesn't get too involved with too much. But his right hand man is a guy called Glenn Ashby from Australia. So he's classified as the skipper. Whereas on Oracle Team New Zealand, Oracle Team USA, excuse me, is Jimmy Spittle, who's the helmsman, and they've got Tom Slingsby, who's a well known Australian sailor, as his whispering man there. So, look, it's going to be really tight.
Indeed. Well, good on the Aussies for getting there. I wonder why there is such a lack of interest, though, because back in the 1980s or the 70s when we had Kerry Packer and Kerry Stokes and Alan Bond all challenging, you know, that's about all we talked about during that era was the America's Cup and will we win it? And, of course, we ultimately did and then lost it fairly quickly, mind you. But there's been little interest since then.
Yeah, a little interest at the moment, but, you know, I think this might generate, and look, which might, if Team New Zealand pull this off, it'll go back to New Zealand, and for a syndicate to set themselves up from Australia and go to New Zealand is a lot cheaper and a lot more economical to just base themselves in New Zealand.
Oh, sure.
Than actually being based in the USA or based in Europe. So fingers crossed, in one way, I'm hoping, the Kiwis might be able to pull it off. But in another way, I've got a lot of really great mates on Oracle Team USA.
Indeed. Now, how many teams have been eliminated to get to this point?
Look, there's been four teams that have been eliminated out of the series. And so, the Kiwis have come through trumps. And look, they've done an incredible job. You know, they've been able to foil the boat all around the whole race course, where the boat doesn't even touch the water. The whole boat's been out of the water for the whole 100% of the race. They're also working on not standing grinders to generate the power in the boat. They've actually got cyclists in the boat. So they've got like four heavyweight cyclists pedaling madly in the boat, whereas the Oracle team, they've got stand-up grinders. They still haven't actually been able to foil the whole way around the course yet. It's going to be, and as I said, mentioned the skippers, you know,
yeah.
Burling is a full Iceman. He's he's so calm and collected, where Jimmy Spittle's already throwing out a few little baits, baiting the New Zealanders with some mind games
yes.
already.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the psychology of it all plays such an important part.
Oh, very much so, very much so. Yeah. Pete's aware that he's got the whole country behind him from Team New Zealand. And Jimmy's got, you know, Oracle, you know, Larry, and he's defending the cup. He's aiming to try to win the cup for the third time. This will be the first time anyone's ever done it in America's Cup history, was actually to win the cup three times in a row. So there's plenty to win here for both the teams.
Well, looking back into history, I seem to recall that back in the days of Alan Bond and Australia too, winning the America's Cup, to actually win the mug, it was the best of five. Does that remain the same, or are there now more races?
There's actually more races now. It's going to be the best of nine this time. But also what happens, when Bondi actually won the cup, those races were quite long. There were a couple, you know, 2-3 hours on the water, where these races are no more than 25 minutes. So what they do for the television, to make it all interesting, they actually try to do two races a day.
Is that because of the pace of the race? The yachts are going that much quicker?
Oh, yes, these boats are, you know, they're able to do like 45 knots in about 12 knots of breeze. So they can go three times the speed of the wind, which is, and they're out of the water foiling. It's a totally different dynamics now with the America's Cup.
You know, Mick, that must be about the most exciting thing you could ever wish to do, to be on a yacht like that and travelling at 45 knots. I mean, that is really scooting above the water, isn't it?
It is actually really, really flying. And a lot of the sailors that I've spoken to have gone, you know, they've never ever sailed a boat like this before. So it's all sort of new territory for the skippers, for the designers, for both these teams. So it's really taking it all to the whole new next level of yacht development, you know, and in the future of the America's Cup sport, you could say.
As we go to air, this is Sunday morning, local time here in Australia. It'll be just starting in Bermuda because I think they would be about 19 hours behind us.
That's correct. So they kick off about 3 o'clock Sunday morning, Australian time here, Eastern Standard Time, I should say. But look, if you're able to just sneak around to a friend's place that might have some cable television and have a look, it'll definitely be worth looking at. As I said, it's gonna go to the wire here. These two teams are fully pumped and there's going to be no prisoners out in the water.
Has it been good in Bermuda? Have the Bermuda folks loved it?
The Bermuda folks have really loved it. They've really embraced it. And all the other syndicates have really stepped up, even though they're not competing now. But it was such a tight island and such a small village. It was hard not to be part of the America's Cup, which has been really great. So it's been, a lot of big crowds, some great television, and, you know, some great functions going on as well. So it's been, I think, a really great winner for Bermuda.
Well, when it comes to some sports, for example, in tennis, you know, the minute that someone gets eliminated from a tennis tournament, they get on the plane and head off and they nick off. They don't hang around to watch the remainder of the tournament. Is it the same with the yachties, or do they hang around and to have a look at what's going on to hopefully see the champions?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Mainly because, most of the syndicates, I'd say everyone from the syndicates are going to hang around because it's such a great carnival atmosphere. Plus, most of these syndicates haven't fully committed yet about doing the next cup, but they're all sort of lurking around waiting to see where the next cup might be and if they're going to go again, because there's been so much money and time and development of these boats. Mm-hmm. It would be crazy just to walk away and go, oh, we're not coming back.
Yeah, sure. In the event that Oracle does win, where do you think they might choose to run, because they do look years ahead, don't they?
Yeah, look, they are years ahead in some ways, but I must admit, you know, the Kiwis, they were the first boat to get the boat foiling in New Zealand. No one knew that they were actually foiling these boats until someone flew over from Oracle and was totally surprised on a spy mission.
Mm.
So, you know, and the Kiwis, they just love punching above their weight in any sports, as we know, rugby union, you name it, the Kiwis, you know, they love really punching above their weight. So, in answering your question, if Oracle does win it, I mean, it would be great if it did stay in Bermuda for another couple of years, because it gives all the teams a lot of stability. They're already set up there. It would just mean, like, let's just continue on and keep developing in Bermuda with the boats and what we want to do. So it's got some advantages both ways. If it goes to New Zealand, it's got some great advantages, and if it stays in Bermuda, it's got some great advantages.
The big companies who do sponsor these groups, of course, that they wouldn't be doing it unless they saw some value in being the sponsors. Of course, Emirates has sponsored Team New Zealand, Oracle sponsors Team USA, so they must see some value in putting the bucks up.
Oh, yes, very much so. You know, there's some big bucks that have been put in here, but there's also some massive returns if you do win the cup. Like, you know, I know the New Zealand government have put a lot of money into Emirates Team New Zealand, and they know that if the cup comes to New Zealand, they will, you know, triple their money if they win the cup.
Yeah, a good investment. Now, when it comes to the best of nine, is it even money at the moment?
I haven't really looked at the books on the betting side of things, but I'd say that it would be even money at the moment. Yeah, both these teams are both a bit different, but in some ways, but in some other ways, they're really, really similar and incredibly resilient sailors and very, very tough.
Well, it's a fantastic event, and I'll have to keep my eye on CNN or Sky or someone. There's bound to be someone who is showing, you know, at least some highlights of what goes on in Bermuda. Mick Miller, always a joy to talk with you. We've got a couple of weeks, have we, before it comes to a conclusion?
We've got like about a week, so it actually starts this on the 17th in Bermuda,
which will be Saturday.
So it sort of goes for about, they're going to run it for a week, so it's going to be a pretty full-on week, weather depending. If the weather's not there, they can't race the boats, and if it's too windy, they don't race them. So there's a certain wind range where they actually allow the boats to race. I think it's up to about 22 knots. They don't race it over 22 knots, the boats. So from about 5 knots to 22 knots, you know, and at the moment it's summertime over there in Bermuda. They've got some beautiful sea breezes coming through, so fingers crossed they'll have the right weather and they'll be able to have the whole series done and dusted by, I'd say, by the 1st of July.
Well, there you go. Sounds like another fantastic event. Mick, look, we might, at the end of the tournament, we might just give you another call and see how you felt it all panned out.
Yeah, very much so. Let's keep in touch. And thanks again for the interview and all the best to the listeners.
Good to talk with you, Mick. Mick Miller there. He's a performance coach expert and a full bottle on what's going on in Bermuda. Great to talk with you, Mick. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.